Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour here at Late Night Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until midnight tonight. It's an abbreviated edition of Late Night Tonight, but it is what it is, right? I got here at 8 instead of 10. Still giving you my four best hours that I possibly can. Just a different 4 hours. And again, you know, tomorrow night I'm here until 2 a.m. and then I'm gone until Sunday. So let's get it all out of the way now. And tomorrow night, all these phone calls, all these thoughts, all this conversation that really dominated the program tonight in a way that I didn't expect it to, but I am glad that it has. You know what I mean? So when I got here tonight, I said, let's touch on this stuff with Stephen A. and the racism stuff in Boston, and let's do it for the first hour, maybe two. But it's extended through almost the entire program, and I think that's a very good thing because it's a conversation that we need to have more often than we do. The only reason why we don't have it more often is because we're afraid to talk about it unless somebody else brings it up. Once somebody else brings it up, it's a safe topic to talk about. But until then, everybody stays away from it. We all pretend like it doesn't exist. But the fact of the matter is, racism does exist. It exists in Boston. It exists in every major city across this country. But I think that it doesn't exist nearly to the level that it used to, and I don't think Boston is really any different from any other major city. So I hate the fact that Boston continues to get singled out, continues to be isolated, and continues to be thought of differently from other major cities across our country. And guys like Stephen A. Smith and Bomani Jones, they continue to perpetuate this lie. They continue to perpetuate their feeling that Boston is a more racist town. And then they make it up with things like this Gordon Hayward situation, when really the underlying reasons for Gordon Hayward to get minutes earlier in the season, when maybe he didn't deserve them over Jaylen Brown, over Jason Tatum, over Terry Rozier, it has nothing to do with the color of their skin and the fact that Boston fans want to root for a white superstar. It has nothing to do with the color of their skin and the fact that Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge want a white superstar here. And it has everything to do with the fact that he is signed to a max contract for the next 2 years after this season. And the only way to get him back to the guy that he used to be is, unfortunately, to play him. Guys that listen to Late Night, I know there's a lot of you out there who've had this conversation 1,000 times this season. And whether you agree or disagree, how many times have we talked about the fact that I think the Celtics have made an internal decision this year where they were going to concede 5, maybe up to 10 regular season wins that they could have had they given Gordon Hayward's minutes and split them between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and they left Gordon Hayward on the bench? Because there's been plenty of games this year where he was a non-factor. He was a detriment to this team on the court. But they made an internal decision to play him 25, 30 minutes a night, regardless of how poor he played, because they knew, the training staff knew, the experts that are smarter than all of us when it comes to this sort of situation all understood that the only reason to get him back to being an effective basketball player once again was to get him on the court, get him on the floor, and to allow him the time that he needs to recover. Because the Celtics have made a long-term investment into Gordon Hayward, and the Celtics, they couldn't afford to take a short-term view into a long-term situation with Gordon Hayward and his contract. It is Sports Radio WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Back out to these phones. We'll go. Let's go to Paul. Paul's in Plymouth. Paul, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's happening, Paul?
Great show. How much? I am just I'm suffering over them not, the Patriots not re-signing Trey Flowers. I just think they should have franchised him. Or your thoughts on that? I mean, God, the guy was such a... Oh, man, it's killing me.
So here's what I'll say. I am 1,000% with you when it comes to my initial emotional reaction. I felt exactly the same way. And then I went back and I started just reading some tweets from this time last year, this time 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It seems like we go through this every year with the Patriots, and still they find a way, they bring in other guys, they maximize other guys' potential and value, and there's going to be somebody that we've maybe never heard of, maybe somebody that they draft, maybe a guy that's on somebody else's practice squad that's going to come in here next year, and we're going to say, geez, where'd that guy come from? And he's going to become the next Trey Flowers. We don't know who he is right now, but history tells us that this team has a unique and uncanny way of replacing these players with guys that we've never really heard of before.
So you're okay with them not franchising them? That's what I wanted, because I knew they weren't going to come to a contract. I mean, look what Detroit gave them, you know? So
look at that money. Okay, it's huge. Yeah, I mean, the money is huge. And look, if the Patriots were going to use their franchise tag, I thought they were going to use it on Gostkowski. And they decided not to use it at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, look,
yeah.
I think only six teams used it this year. It's getting out of hand with the franchise tag and how much money these guys get.
Exactly.
Trey Flowers is going to be missed. There's no getting around that. But the history tells us, Paul, have faith. History tells us that Belichick is going to replace him. I promise you that.
Dude, you're giving me faith. Now you're pumping me up.
That's what I'm here for, Paul. Late night here, okay? I appreciate the phone call, brother. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with these calls. Let's go to Scott. Scott's in Shrewsbury. Scott, you're next up here on WEI.
Hi. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Scott. What's on your mind, man?
So I think I've got a really good counterexample to what you were saying that supports your point. And it is so frustrating because, you know, any little thing and we get painted with that brush of racism, even if there's another possible explanation that's perfectly reasonable. And in this case, the perfectly reasonable explanation is, well, what if we're just well-informed sports fans? Matter of fact, what if ESPN is the organization that informed us? Because all season long, I've heard from ESPN about how Paul George had the same injury. And Paul George had to play through a really bad down season, but they had to play him all year long. And by the time he was ready, the next season he was back to being Paul George. So an investment you had to make. Maybe, you know, we've heard that and take that to heart. I know I've been taking it to heart all season, hoping that we're going to have a Paul George moment with him.
You're 1,000% right, Scott. And, you know, that's what we've all been holding out for. We've all been waiting for the Paul George moment, for almost that light to turn on. And we're starting to see signs of it. But he's clearly not all the way back yet. And if you use Paul George as the example, I hate to say it, but it might not even be the start of next season. It'll happen at some point next season. But when you look at the time in which Paul George finally returned to being an all-star, it took two calendar years. And nobody's willing to wait. But here's the difference. When Paul George was with the Pacers at the time, the Pacers were no longer a contender. They weren't a very good basketball team. So he was afforded the luxury of sort of playing 35 minutes a night, regardless of the outcome. Nobody cared because, you know, the Pacers weren't expected to do anything. Whereas the Celtics, Las Vegas picked them to win the East, to represent the East in the finals. And they've sort of had a down year considering the expectations that they were up against.
I thought George got hurt after his trade.
No. He got hurt. He got hurt when he was with the Pacers. No, he got hurt with the Pacers. And he came back for six games at the end of that initial season, and he averaged like 9 points a game. But he proved to himself through those six games that he could still play. The next year he came back, and his numbers weren't all that bad. It was like 18 points a game, way down compared to what he was at. But then the following year, his last year with the Pacers, he really returned to form. But now he's a better player than he's ever been. So he's actually about 4 years removed from the injury right now. But it took him two full calendar years, Scott, to become the Paul George that we're seeing right now, the potential NBA MVP. You know, it takes a while, and it takes a while. And if you listen to Paul George, and, you know, people are more likely to listen to Stephen A. Smith than they are to listen to Paul George, which blows my mind considering Paul George has been there before, right? Why listen to the person that's been through a similar issue to Gordon Hayward? Now, Paul George has sympathy for Gordon Hayward, and he gives him a lot of credit for playing through this season because he knows that this season is going to be, it's hell for this guy. His brain wants his body to do things that his body's simply not capable of doing right now. But I said this last night on Late Night, and I'm going to double down on this take here. You know, one of the things, if you want to look at the bright side of this situation, one of the things that we can point to is if you look at this West Coast road trip and you look at how effective Gordon Hayward has been, whether it's the 30 points in Golden State, the 12 points in the game winner in Sacramento, 15 points very efficiently against the Lakers, he's learning how to create space and create offense for himself without being uber athletic again. And if you have faith in his body and in his training and in the training staff of the Celtics, that next year with some additional time, he's going to come back with a full off season and return to the form that he was in physically with the Utah Jazz. Now he has added all of these new moves and skills to his repertoire because now he's got a little bit of old man game where he's learned how to create space using head and shoulder fakes, stutter steps, up fakes, things of that nature to create space where once upon a time he could rely solely upon his athleticism. Because again, Not a lot of people watch the Utah Jazz. So because he's a pasty white guy, he gets painted into this sort of category of being a white guy shooter, a Kyle Korver, a J.J. Redick. He is not that guy. He is much closer to a Paul George, an electric swingman that can finish at the rim with authority, and an ultimate creator, somebody who's excellent when it comes to his ball handling skills and his ability to create for his teammates. He is a multi-tooled, multi-dimensional, multifaceted basketball player that can do a little bit of everything. He is not just your pasty white guy that stands behind the three-point line waiting for somebody to get on the basketball. And I'm afraid there's way too many Celtics fans that just never saw enough Utah Jazz basketball to fully understand the repertoire that this guy brings to the court. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie's in the car. Charlie, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hey, Patrick, how are you?
What's happening, Charlie?
Not much. I've been at work, and this is the first time here of the Stephen A. comments. Really, all I have to say is that, and you kind of just covered it, it seems like, as a Celtics fan, I would have also loved to see Rozier and Tatum and Brown get more minutes, but I understand them playing, Hayward for so many minutes because they're trying to get a return on their investment. They're trying to give him as many minutes as he needs to get back to where he was playing at Utah. And so the fact that Stephen A. would even bring race into this makes him sound racist to me. I mean, that never even crossed my mind.
The worst part about what Stephen A. said, and I'm sure you can read his comments online too, but the worst part is he made this suggestion that some Celtics players also believe that Gordon Hayward got preferential treatment because of his skin color. That, to me, is the most dangerous thing about what he said, because this Celtics locker room, it's been delicate all season. It seems like it's finally in a good place. But if this sort of story permeates this locker room, let's say the Celtics lose to the Clippers tonight. So it's their first loss that they've had to deal with since they all started getting along better. And then this story creeps into the locker room. This is the kind of poisonous story that can do a lot of damage to a pretty, you know, let's just call it not very mature Celtics locker room that they've had this year.
Right.
You know.
And that really frustrates me too, because I've always kind of looked at Stephen A. Smith as an authority in that, but the comments that I've heard are just, it really kind of changes my mind about it. Also, about two callers ago, he talking about Trey Flowers being traded. What do you think the chances are that they let, or not traded, but what do you think the chances of them letting Trey Flowers go are going to turn into them trying to make a move at OBJ?
So I love that idea about OBJ, because you look at the amount of talent that guy has, and you look that, you know, he has said on more than one occasion that he'd love to play with Tom Brady. He's a dynamic playmaker. He's somebody that certainly makes a splash. Occasionally, this Patriots team will make a splash. They'll either trade for or sign somebody that it's got name recognition, right? They don't do it all the time, but OBJ's out there. He's still a potential trade target. And I think that now, look at this money that the Patriots have essentially not spent today. You look at the money that they should have spent, could have spent, depending on where you fall, on Trey Flowers, who got himself just a huge, huge deal with the Lions. I cannot blame Trey Flowers for taking the money that was given to him, because that is just a monstrous contract that eventually the Lions, they may live to regret. But right now, it is a huge deal for the Lions and Matt Patricia. It's a win-now type move, right? But that money is now not being spent on Trey Flowers. OBJ is a guy that you got to give him serious consideration if you're the Patriots. And we said it a lot last year. Let's say it again this year. Last year, the Patriots made Tom Brady's life miserably difficult, much more difficult than it needed to be. And now you got this situation where OBJ is out there, and it looks like when you look at this Patriots receiving core, you know, we thought maybe Danny Amendola would be an option. He is not an option. Edelman's going to be a year older. It's just going to be one of these situations again where if they don't make a move and bring in another reliable guy or two, you know, for the entirety of training camp, for the offseason workouts, we don't want to see Tom Brady have to work a guy in, you know, a quarter of the way into the season again, because we saw what it did to the Patriots offense last year. Now, luckily and thankfully, their offense rounded into shape the final couple of games of the regular season, and we saw what the Patriots were able to accomplish throughout the postseason, ultimately winning the Super Bowl. But as Tom Brady ages, I like the idea of taking some of the responsibility, some of the pressure, some of the weight off of Tom Brady's shoulder, so to speak, with a guy like Sonny Michel. You should continue in that trend and get him the best available talent when it comes to receiving weapons to make his life a little bit easier and maybe potentially extend his career by another year, maybe two. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys. When we come back, continuing our discussion here, Gordon Hayward, the Boston Celtics. Stephen A. Smith says, hey, the Celtics, they gave Gordon Hayward preferential treatment because of his skin color over better players that were black. And he says, you Celtics fans, you embrace that. You would rather have a white superstar than a black player play for your Boston Celtics. Is that true? Would you rather embrace and root for a white guy than a black guy if they were equally as good? I don't think so. I've got 39 years in the can as being a Celtics fan. I'm an equal opportunity fan. Stephen A. Smith seems to think that Gordon Hayward's white looks more like Larry Bird. So therefore, we love him more. I don't get it. Maybe you guys do. We're talking about that at 617-779-7937. It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And the Celtics played an ugly game right now against the Clippers, 48-42. Clippers are winning this thing with about 4 minutes to go in the first half. Celts are hanging in. I swear to God, Gallinari is going to go for 50 points tonight. Doc Rivers has done an incredible job maximizing his talent and maximizing the talent of this Clipper team as a whole. This is not your father's Clippers. This is not, you know, the days of DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin, Chris Paul. Those days are long gone. But this Clipper team is a lot of fun. This Clipper team reminds me of the Celtics teams from a couple of years ago with Horford, with Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Jonas Jerebko, a team that's going to give you a full effort for the full 48 minutes. You cannot afford to take a deep breath and relax against this team because they are going to run it down your throats. So the Celtics, I mean, they're in this thing, but right now the Clippers just playing with more energy and they want this thing a little bit more than the Celtics do. So we'll continue to keep you guys updated on the Celtics game here tonight. Patrick Beverly just cancel three. Celtics call a timeout, 51-42 with about 3 minutes remaining in the first half. Let's get back out to these phone calls here. It's been a very interesting night discussion-wise. Stephen A. Smith being the crux of the discussion, calling Boston a racist city once again, further perpetuating this fiction, in my opinion, where Boston, we can't escape the narrative nationally that we are a racist town, a racist city, and the Celtics are painted as a racist organization in Stephen A. Smith's comments as well. And to me, that does the city of Boston no favors, and it does the entire movement of racial equality no favors either. Because what we're doing is we're ignoring the racial inequality and the racist undertones in other major cities across our country and just pinpointing the problem to one city. So therefore, other cities continue to get away with it and those problems continue to go unchecked. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You know what I want to know tonight? I want to know how the Brooklyn Nets did. So let's go to Marcel. Marcel's in New York. I'm sure he's going to let me know how the Brooklyn Nets did tonight because that is first and foremost on my mind.
Absolutely, at Gilroy on Hoops, and many thanks to Joe for making that call as well.
Yes. What's on your mind, Marcel? Give me the update here.
Well, 103-75, Nets took away the Pistons tonight at Barclays Center. All those Barclays Center crowd are so much happy, including mine.
Yep, I'm sure. It's exciting stuff. You're not bringing the same energy level tonight, Marcel, that we're used to you bringing. What's going on with that? Are you just so wrapped up in the magic of the Brooklyn Nets that you don't have the energy left to bring it to the radio station tonight? What's going on, man?
It is, you know, hashtag we go hard, that's why.
He said hashtag we go hard. Yeah, he said we. Is he part of the team? Is he the reason why the Brooklyn Nets have overachieved this year? Joe, he said he thanked you for making the call. So did you call Marcel tonight? Is he our
no.
Brooklyn affiliate? You didn't call
no,
him?
No. But he called it. He's a good guy.
He's
nice
a great guy.
To
he's a great guy. Usually he gives us a good.
Actually, he's asked for my Twitter handle, I think, like six times. Every time I try to give it to him, it's either I don't spell it right or he can't hear me. And I finally gave it to him, and it's not that impressive. So
it's not that impressive. He's a great guy, but I'm used to getting a good 120 seconds of like full in-depth reporting from him. And tonight he gave me a final score. I know nothing about how the Brooklyn Nets actually attained said win tonight. So
the sad thing is, who cares?
Who cares? I've learned nothing. That's all. It is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's get back out to these phones. Let's go to Wayne. Wayne's in Southie. Wayne, where the hell have you been, my friend?
Gilroy, what What's up, brother? I auditioned for a part in a new movie. I can't talk about it at all because I got in trouble for the other one. But hold on.
You are talking about it right now. You just told me about it. Are you going to get in trouble again?
I tell you because you're my brother, and I miss you. I haven't heard from you. I was like, oh, I got to talk to Gilroy. I heard you tonight when I came in from the gym, and you were going off. But I remember, hey, the Avenging Prophet, me, again, has struck. I said 4 weeks ago to you, remember what I said, Gilroy? You were like, well, yeah, he's right. And I said, Ollie, it's in his head. It's all in his head because I did the same thing. Remember I told you, Gilroy, I jumped off when I was a young kid, 11, drinking beers?
I remember.
My ankle went, and the first thing I did was stick it in ice and drink beers all day. And
I remember. How could I forget that story, Wayne? Come on now.
But I said 4 weeks ago, I goes, when Gordon Hayward, one night, he's into the game, like the Golden State Warriors, we were beating the best team in the NBA, yeah. Right? And he was all pumped up, and he went up, and I said to you, when he goes up and he slams it out and comes down and nothing's wrong, he's going to know, okay, I'm back. And that's what he did when he scored those three 30-point nights. He is back.
I hope so.
I told you, Gilroy, to give him a little time. And I will talk about the Patriots in 2 minutes, people. Don't worry about it. I got something I want to say about that.
No, I hope you're right, because the next step for him is going to be, you know, consistency and doing it, you know, each and every night. And once he gets to that point, then he'll be all the way back. But he's certainly trending in the right direction. You were right about that. I'll give you that, Wayne.
Listen, Gilroy, he's going to blend right in. I guarantee you, we're going to the playoffs. All right, we may not win it, we may not get it. Milwaukee and Boston will be a good series because Boston's going to maybe get the fifth seed and they'll have to play some bum team.
Well, if they're the fifth seed, they might have to play Philly in the first round. And
I don't think they're going to get the fifth seed. I said they're going to get – they only got 7.5. I think they're going to catch up Toronto, be right on their back.
I don't know about Toronto, but I think that they have a good shot at the number.
They're 7 games out.
With 15 to go, it's near impossible to make up 7.5 games. Yeah, we're almost there.
I thought we had like 50 games.
No. But you can catch the three seed, though. You're a game out of the three seed right now. So that should be the goal for the Celtics.
Yeah, three, my number. Hey, Gilroy, what are you going to be doing? I heard you're going to be going away on my birthday next week, the parade. I was going to invite you to the parade because it's my birthday, and it's the first time in 40 years it has fell on a Sunday where I get to really celebrate St. Patrick's Day and have my parade. So I got a float, and I'm going to be up there practicing my, telling people, singing my music, doing everything I do, giving myself. I'm just going to entertain because Wayne, that's what he does. I entertain, Gilroy. I heard you earlier say, hey, what's up? You ain't got no energy. So I said, wait till Gilroy gets Wayne about those Patriots, too. Hold on. It's coming, people.
We're waiting, Wayne. What's up with the Patriots? It's the first day of free agency, the tampering. What do you got, Wayne?
Listen, this is what the NFL does, Goodell, on them, when they say, okay, the Patriots won a Super Bowl. We get dismantled every time, you know what I mean? Trent Brown was on. I got to give it. Remember I kept telling you that, Gilroy, as long as you protect Brady's blind side, look, they just took away two of the most important weapons. I'm number one guy on defense. I'm number one guy on offense.
No, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. But don't you have But Wayne, don't you have faith? Don't you have, after 20 years of going through this, don't you have faith that they're going to replace those guys with? Okay.
Listen, Isaiah, I already know Isaiah Wynn is going to be ready to go, and he's the guy that we got from Alabama. He's a beast, but he broke his thing.
Yeah, but he's a guard, so he's not going to be. He's not going to replace one.
That's what we just lost, a guard, right?
Not really. I mean, it's a tackle.
He's the blind side. He's the guy that protected Brady. I watched one game one time when Detroit blitzed him, and he had two guys in his arms. What is he, 6'8", 380? That's a monster.
He's a big guy. Look, there's going to be – people are going to step up, and they're going to replace these two guys they lost.
Can I tell you which ones I just said with Dillery so the Avenging Prophet will be right again?
The Avenging Prophet. What do you got? What do you got?
All right. Hold on for a second.
We're all listening.
What were we just talking about? Because I just,
you lost your train of thought.
Got a little lightheaded?
Cortez. Where's Cortez? Cortez was there the night I said it, Mallory. He remembers. He goes,
you just called me Mallory.
I remember.
He just called
me. He did call you Mallory.
Yeah,
I remember.
Wait, I love you, brother.
Joe's going to kill me. I called him.
Yeah, you did. That's the end right there. I love you, Wayne, and we'll talk again tomorrow night,
Wayne,
I'm sure.
Wayne and Southie show has ended.
That's it. I mean, he just called me Mallor. I'd like to think I bring a different level of energy to the table than Ben Mallor does. I'm a fan of Mallor, but it's a very different radio program when Ben Maller's on. There's no getting around that. You may prefer Ben Mallor and his style to myself.
It's East versus West, man.
But you can't get the two of us confused. We are wildly different on the radio. It is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's grab one more before the break. Let's go to Rick. Rick's in Plymouth. Rick, you're next up here on WEI.
How you doing, Pat? Before I get going on the Stephen A. racist crap, let me just say this. In Bill, we trust, okay? What Bill says goes. He's a six-time world champion. The Patriots are the greatest team of the millennium. Nothing like this will ever happen again. So whatever Bill wants, Bill gets.
I tell you what, there were people questioning Bill this past year, and maybe with some sort of credence and good reason. But what the Patriots pulled off this past year, Rick, shuts everybody up. I mean, this was to me the most improbable run that they've had outside of 2001.
Coach of the year, GM of the year, everything of the year.
Yep.
Everything the guy's done.
I'm with you.
He's better than what Alex Cora did for guys, and everything Alex did. Turn to gold. Now
I'm with you.
Get away from the Patriots for a second.
Yep.
Let me get back to Stephen A. How does this guy still employed by a national radio station? This guy is the biggest racist on TV today. He hates white people. It's obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, let me get going on this for a second.
Please do.
The city of Boston was the first city in the world to have a black hockey player. Am I not correct?
You're correct. You're correct.
Okay. David Ortiz, Manny Ramirez, Dante Hightower, Ty Law, William Molloy, all the great black athletes that have come to this town, got standing ovations, never got booed. How are we a freaking racist town? Please tell me.
It doesn't make any sense to me. And here's the thing. You know, we can go back to the days of Bill Russell, and Bill Russell actually lived some very terrible events here. Read his biographies. There's no getting away from that. But racism has been something that has permeated the United States of America for a long time, and I don't think Boston is any different. Matter of fact, I think Boston should be applauded for coming as far as we have come since the days of Bill Russell.
We are the most liberal state in the country, for the love of God. Maybe outside of California, maybe, but, I mean, come on.
I'm with you.
We don't boo anybody in this state. I mean, because at least it's because of their skin color. I mean, I have cheered black athletes. I have cheered white athletes. I don't care if you're white, green, yellow with pink and yellow polka dots, for Christ's sakes. You win me games, you are my best friend. It's that simple.
You're 1,000% right, Rick. There's no getting around that. And look, this all began with a comment about Gordon Hayward and the Celtics. Here's the thing. Gordon Hayward got a standing ovation when he was a member of the Jazz here in Boston because the Celtics fans knew that they were going to be in on him as a free agent and they wanted him to feel the love. Jay Crowder got offended, whatever. Celtics fans also give Kevin Durant a huge ovation every time he's here because they know Danny Ainge has a love affair with Kevin Durant. Last time Anthony Davis was in Boston, he got a 2-minute standing ovation because Celtics fans identify the fact that he is a target of Danny Ainge. It doesn't make a difference what their skin color is. It amazes me that we continue with this narrative, Wayne.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I know we had Larry Bird. I know we had Kevin McHale. I know we had Danny Ainge. But did Robert Parrish ever get booed? Did Dennis Johnson ever get booed? Did Sam Jones ever get booed? Did Casey Jones ever get booed? No. Bill Russell never even got booed in this town. I'm sorry. I never heard one fan boo Bill Russell. I don't know what Bill had to deal with in the damn hotel rooms. I get it. The 60s are over. The 1860s and the 1960s. Can we please move on to the new millennium?
I wish
get this crap out of the way.
Rick, I wish we could. And that's the thing. We'll never be able to move on to the new millennium as long as people with the power of Stephen A. Smith. And whether you like Stephen A. Smith or you hate him, the one thing that we cannot deny is the power of his voice. Because his voice permeates throughout the United States of America. He works for the biggest sports conglomerate that this world has ever seen. And he's probably the predominant voice on that network. So when he says something like what he said today about the Boston Celtics and about Gordon Hayward and about you Celtics fans, you know, preferring to cheer for a guy like Gordon Hayward because of his skin color, guess what? In other markets, in other cities, in other towns across this country, Little Rock, Arkansas, little places like that that don't have two huge, huge radio stations talking local sports all day, all they have is their local ESPN affiliate. And this is going to get played over and over and over again. And those people that don't know any better, they're going to say, see, Boston will never change. Stephen A. Smith said it, so it must be true. Because in other cities, in other markets where, you know, they don't have all these independent voices with a couple different huge radio stations talking sports all day locally, all they've got is the Stephen A. Smiths and Womani Joneses of the world. And those voices, they carry weight with those people. And it's those people and it's middle America that continues to permeate this idea and really give this idea life that Boston remains as racist as it once was back in the 1960s, 70s, and early 80s. We are not the same town. We've come a country mile. We are not the same country. The country's come too far. Here's the thing. There is going to be racism at some level in every major market, in every major city. Boston really isn't that much different from any other major city, any other major market. The problem is we have been identified by a national platform in ESPN as the racist capital of the world. And guess what? It gets clicks, it gets likes, and it makes money for ESPN. So a guy like Stephen A. Smith, he is going to continue to push that narrative because it is good for him selfishly. To hell with what it does to us as a region. It is Sports Radio, WEI. When we come back, I promise you we'll get to more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Final segment here. Late Night Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you. So we'll make our way together up until midnight tonight. The number to join me here, still a little bit of time and room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's get right back out to the calls while we still can. Let's go to James. James is in Norwich. James, you're next up here on WEI.
How you doing, Patrick?
Hey, James. What's on your mind?
Well, Stephen A. Smith. Now, all right, 2 points. I'll get back to the racial stuff, but just – by itself, he doesn't have correct facts. It wasn't too long ago talking about people who don't even play anymore, and he was putting them in the starting lineup, and it was in a football game, and they weren't even playing anymore. He doesn't get his facts right. That by itself, he should have his job. He doesn't prepare.
Well, yeah, I mean, he got exposed. That was a couple months ago, but you're absolutely right. I mean, he was naming players that hadn't been on the active roster all season long. You're right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, how does he get away with that, you know? Now, back on the racial thing, things that come out of his mouth, if he was white, he wouldn't have a job.
You're right about that.
Even one thing. But he comes out with oodles of stuff all the time. All he does is, he doesn't know sports. He just rants. He just has a stage that he can just come up with his vile opinions, and it's all I can say is opinions because they don't make any sense. So it just boils me to the quick. You know?
And I'm with you there, and especially when you look at today's comment, right, and you look at what he had to say about the Celtics and Gordon Hayward. To me, Stephen A. was a basketball guy first, and he had an opportunity here, if you wanted to talk about this, to give a little bit of credence to the fact that, you know, the Celtics might have sacrificed regular season wins for the long-term benefit of getting Gordon Hayward ready for this postseason run and for the final 2 years on his contract. That, to me, it's pretty self-explanatory why they were forced to play him maybe prematurely, maybe before he was physically and mentally ready to be an effective NBA basketball player, because the fact is, he missed the whole offseason. He's been out for over a year plus. He's got to play to get back to the guy he used to be. The Celtics have a long-term investment. He's the sixth biggest contract in the NBA right now, and he's got no trade value, James. So isn't the story more or less Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge sort of being up against it, having no choice but to sacrifice some regular season wins for the long-term benefit of hoping to get Gordon Hayward back to some semblance of what he used to be? To me, it's just so easy to cry racism in this case when it goes much, much deeper than that. And there's actually a really great basketball story to be told here from a guy that was a basketball guy first.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, excuse me.
You're laughing at it.
Well, I also got a little allergy. But anyways, but still, but he's a joke.
Yeah.
The whole thing is, I mean, he will take pick up a rock and try to find something, just something to latch on, but it makes no sense. But most of the time, racism doesn't make any sense either, anyways. But you can always find something to just twist it or you know just to find one person that'll agree with you, and then all of a sudden it just takes off. You know?
And that's the thing, James. That's a great point, because when it comes to Stephen A. Smith and it comes to ESPN and the voice that he carries at ESPN, nobody checks him. Nobody stands up to him. He's got an independent voice where he's able to sort of fly off and say whatever he wants, whenever he wants it, and nobody stands up to him. It's his network. I mean, he gets away with anything he wants to over there for the most part. I mean, you're right. You bring up a great point when he was talking about that football stuff a few months back, and he was naming players that didn't exist on the roster anymore, and you know, as the key matchups that he's paying attention to. Joe, do you happen to have that cutback there? Because it is brilliant from Stephen A. a few months ago, where he's talking about the key matchups that he's going to be watching in the game, but he's mentioning guys that hadn't been on the roster all year long. Like, he's a clown. You know, but it's what he does.
Because, the Kansas City Chief ref?
Yes, yes. It's brilliant. It's just, it's classic Stephen A. And the thing is, he goes unchecked, and nobody at ESPN is going to stand up to him because he is the biggest celebrity on the station. And ESPN has been losing market share. ESPN is not the dominant force that it once was. It is still the predominant force in sports media. There's no getting around that. But because people are cutting the cord, they no longer have the distribution that they once had. They don't have the revenue that they once had. They don't have the draw and the reach that they once had. That is a fact. But Stephen A. Smith, he is probably their biggest, when it comes to name recognition, their biggest talent. And he's allowed to fly off and say whatever he wants, whenever he wants it. The fact is, he has irresponsibly called Boston a racist town multiple times now. And he doesn't ever bring any examples to the conversation. Now, if Stephen A. Smith were here covering the Celtics, say, in a playoff round in a couple of months here, and somebody said something racist to him, or there was something said at the Garden that was caught on tape that was directed at Stephen A. Smith, by all means, unleash your fury at the Boston Celtics fan base, at the Boston Celtics franchise, at Boston as a whole. You know what I mean? But right now, he couldn't be further away from the situation here. Stephen A. Smith doesn't cover the Boston Celtics. Stephen A. Smith isn't at the Garden on the regular. He isn't at the Auerbach Center at practice ever. He knows nothing about the inner workings of this basketball team. He's not close enough to the situation. And he doesn't want to be close to the situation here. Because what Stephen A. Smith wants to do is go on some radio station in L.A., figuring that it's never going to get back to Boston. And he wants to play to the audience at hand. So he's appeasing the Los Angeles audience when he was talking on the radio saying these things about Gordon Hayward and the Celtics. What he didn't realize was it was going to make its way back here. And once again, you guys, Boston fans, we as Boston fans, get painted as racist. We get painted in a light that we shouldn't be painted in. The fact is this, I have taken hundreds of phone calls this year on Late Night from pissed off Celtics fans unhappy with Gordon Hayward's production. I have come to his defense, not because of his skin color, but because I better understood the second surgery, because I better understood the timeline. That second surgery did not get any coverage. The media ignored the story. It was told that it was a minor operation, but the fact is he wasn't able to work out this summer. So yes, he was training last spring, and he was trying to get back to the Boston Celtics in time to contribute to their playoff run. But during that training, he had to stop. During that rehabilitation, he had to stop, because there was pain and inflammation coming from the ankle that required a second surgery that put him back in a walking boot, and it brought his progress back to square one all over again. Nobody reported that. Nobody talked about it. The expectations were unrealistic, and I am guilty as charged. I am just as guilty as anybody that talks about this team, that covers this team, at leaving that part out of the conversation. Because it didn't fit the narrative of the comeback story that we were all hoping for. The comeback story that we all thought Gordon Hayward had the chance to be this year. And maybe he still has that chance with 14 regular season games remaining. The Celtics right now trailing by 13 points at the start of the third quarter in Los Angeles, trying to sweep this road trip. Not looking good so far. We'll see what this team has got, what they're made out of in the second half here. You know, and that's the story here. We'll talk about that tomorrow night, whether the Celtics were able to go 3-1 or 4-0 in this road trip. I think 4-0 at this point has got to be the expectation. 4-0 has got to be the goal of this basketball team, considering what Kyrie Irving said the other night when they were leaving the Lakers win. What did he say on national TV? He said, we've got a lot of ground to make up. You know, and that's the facts here. They still have a lot of ground to make up. They want to grab that number three seed. You got to win these games. You've got a better record than the Clippers. The Clippers are a damn good team. But the Celtics, if they really are a fixed product, if they really have repaired what ailed them, if they really are this better version of themselves, then they should find a way to come back tonight and get out of Los Angeles with a win. So this has been a bit of a fun show tonight, Joe. I got to tell you, I've enjoyed this conversation. It was a little bit heavy at times, but that's okay. Sometimes we need to have these more general, heavy conversations.
We got pranked. Apparently.
We'll find out tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, I know. We'll see how this goes.
I'm very curious to hear more about that prank when we get out of here. So I'll be back again tomorrow night for more late night fun, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and then I am off. So tomorrow I spend the day in Rhode Island, and then on Wednesday I spend the day in Norfolk, Virginia. Thursday, spend the day in Los Angeles, California. Friday, spend the day in Las Vegas, Nevada. Then I red-eye at home for more WEEI fun over the weekend. So looking forward to getting back here tomorrow night, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Maybe Stephen A. Smith will gift us with another racially-based comment against the region, against the city, some racially charged slurs directed at Boston Celtics fans. I mean,
the Lakers stink.
I got to tell you, he is the gift that keeps on giving. So this has been fun. You guys want to stay tuned? It is the best of WEEI that comes your way next. My name is Patrick Gilroy. For Joe Cortez, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow night. Bye-bye.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.